Welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with your host, Dr. Kate. This is where your journey to burnout recovery starts. Are you feeling overwhelmed or like work has become unmanageable? Join me and my guests for open and honest conversations about burnout recovery from the comfort of the front porch. I am here to help you build your resilience and prepare you for burnout in a whole new way through a variety of perspectives. Move past the idea that burnout can only be addressed by avoidance and work to integrate recovery into your daily life. Relax, take a breath. The From Burnout to Recovery Show starts now. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio and member of the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. I am your host, Dr. Kate, and I am excited to welcome you to the show today. As you are enjoying the show, remember that if you haven't yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button to follow us and follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram. Today, we are joined by our guest, Dr. Kimberly Wilson, and she is a fellow burnout recovery expert. So I am really excited to hear more from her about her specific methods and her expertise, because I think the only way that we can truly combat burnout and get everyone into a space of recovery and continued recovery is by having more methods and more of us out there doing the work. So I'm super excited to have her here with us today. Dr. Kimberly Wilson, an LMFT, is the go-to expert for executives in high-stress roles experiencing burnout. She assists those who are feeling overworked, overwhelmed, and over it all to reframe their thoughts and develop sustainable practices to live an intentional life. Her mission is to cure 5,500 women of burnout in honor of her grandmother's legacy. She is a mom, an international psychologist, licensed marriage and family therapist in 4 states, executive coach, speaker, and trainer. Kimberly, welcome to the show. I am really excited that you are joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Kate. I'm excited to be here. And I believe the same thing as well. We all collaborate to make the whole world better. Everybody brings something very unique to the space with their own unique style.
So true. Well, to get us started, if you would tell us a little more about yourself and your burnout experience and your journey to recovery.
Yes. So I've had a couple of burnout experiences throughout the decades, and I am a native Detroiter who is transplanted to the South. And my heart is Detroit, but I'm not going back. I am entrenched in the warm weather now. So I love the South. My first episode with burnout was as a result of a trauma incident, which put me into the military. Mm-hmm. And I experienced the same type of trauma. And rather than get support for that trauma, you don't want to show weakness in a male-dominated organization such as the Marine Corps. So I threw myself into my work. I was awarded with 3 meritorious promotions, awards, accolades, but I was killing myself and ended up with a lot of sick days. Translate that into the civilian sector after I retire, being in charge of a large mental health organization. My husband was working out of town, no family around me because they are all in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I'm in the South, working full time, 2 children under 2 years old, diaper after diaper. And I would regularly be in the car crying as I tried to manage multiple counties and working with medical doctors, psychiatrists, and nurses who I have very unique personalities. It was
truth. Yes.
It was quite stressful, but I was able to recover, got some space, that took some leave. And the third incident was right after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I worked the crisis with the ships. So that created 19-hour days. Mm-hmm. I was teaching full-time at, well, not full-time. I was teaching a couple of courses at two universities, had my own private practice. And because it was as if everybody found mental health fascinating. Everyone mm-hmm. needed mental health. So I just served. And until my doctor said, you know what, you are pre-diabetic, you're pre-high cholesterol, mm-hmm. you are overweight. We are going to put you on some medication. I said, let me fix this. Mm-hmm. And that is when I began implementing my strategies and just turning everything around. And so now I have regular practices. And as I reflected back on my work over time, I noticed I've been assisting my clients with this all along. And I didn't notice it. Mm-hmm. It was just something that was happening. And then this thread, a light bulb came on and I understood that. Yeah. So.
It's funny that you mentioned that in that piece of like, I've been helping people through this all along. And I think a lot of times those of us as helpers that are in service, as you put it, and providing service to others, I think one, we forget that we also need that service back to ourselves. And two, I think we forget that we're experts in that. And then sometimes we forget to prescribe those pieces for ourselves. So what were some of the, you know, the realizations or the touch points that you had that you're like, I need to start doing some of this for me too?
Well, I first had to do, so I use a 5C system. So mm-hmm. I first had to consider like, what is no longer functional? Mm-hmm. So it's essentially diagnosing the problem, what is not working well, then going into a values and behavior congruence exercise and saying like that was the source of a lot of distress because my values and my behavior were not aligned. The things mm-hmm. that I said were very important, I was not investing my time in. I was not investing my energy in. So that was a shocker to say, oh, I value this, but you put that amount of time into it. Yeah. And let's see, what did I then begin to do? So I had to make some strategic changes in my time. Mm-hmm. And my energy, as well as evaluating why I was doing things that didn't bring me joy. Mm-hmm. And not only didn't bring me joy, but they were drudgery. Mm-hmm. And some things I discontinued, some things I delegated mm-hmm. to others, and some things relegated to unimportant, and I will do it if I ever get to it.
Right.
And then a major thing for me is ensuring that I do something creative mm-hmm. and that I connect with those people who were important. When I was in burnout, I didn't have time for friends. Mm-hmm. I only had time for the friends that were talking about business and how to do things better and do that. So I was just immersed in service and business mm-hmm. and I think once I overheard my child kind of describe me as she always is working.
Oh,
that was like arrow to the heart mm-hmm. That I needed to reevaluate what I was doing. And I needed to be able to contribute to things that I felt were important, such as mentorship, and whether if I didn't have the time, then give the money. And other causes such as scholarships. So those were the things that kind of brought me back to normalcy mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I love the 5C, the cure for burnout system. Would you, for our audience members, walk us through each of those 5Cs?
Okay, yes. Okay, so like I said, the first thing is consider. Mm-hmm. And that's where we begin to look at our lives and evaluate where's the dysfunction, where am I not happy, And really, you're going to, each person defines dysfunction for themselves, because what might be dysfunctional to me might be very functional for, mm-hmm. for someone else. Then conserve. Where can you pull back and take back mm-hmm. some of your energy? That's a lot about boundaries. Are you saying no when you can say no? Mm-hmm. Are you putting limits, whether that's in our finances, whether that's in our energy, whether that's, I already said finances, I tend to go to that one so much, whether that's in supporting someone, in the helping them do something, mm-hmm. Where do we need to set those boundaries, especially at work? I had one young woman who was doing her boss's job for 2 years. I kid you not. And under the guise that she was training for his position. And I said, well, when?
But when are you going to get it?
Yes. When is there some? Yeah. So we had to eliminate all that. So mm-hmm. Definitely, where can you conserve your energy and set appropriate and healthy boundaries? Create. So whether that's engaging in some type of creative aspect. So I get so much from creativity, or whether that's creating space for yourself. And sometimes it means being creative in your work and being proud of what you're doing. So many people have been stuck in, I'm putting the widget in the hole. And even in professional roles as well, it's like, okay, I do what they tell me to do and they don't have a voice. So sometimes that means creating something unique that they're proud of. I had one young woman who did create a mentorship program. So it was outside of the role of her workplace, but so many people received exponential value. It was in the tech industry. And that was something she was really proud of, and she enjoyed getting back to work. Connect, and that's about connection. Connecting to those that maybe you've lost touch with, mm-hmm. to those who you value. Maybe it's even connecting back to yourself or a higher power. Mm-hmm. What feeds you in that regard? And I talk a lot with my hands, so excuse me. And where can you contribute? What, you know, whether it's volunteering, whether it's a family member. So I've had one young lady who had a family member who was in a nursing home. So she began to read to people in the nursing home, and that made her feel good. Yeah. So some people might feel that it's counterintuitive because you're doing another thing, but if that other thing lifts you up and gives mm-hmm. you energy, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And you want to do it.
Yeah. I love the five C's. So they could consider, conserve, create, connect, contribute. Mm-hmm. I do think it's important that we, you know, I think re-highlight that contribute piece, right? Because people, they're like, well, I'm a helper, and you're telling me not to help or serve, but that also brings me joy and it feels good to help other people. And I think that's important in taking some of those other pieces in thinking about that. What do we consider that brings us energy and joy? How are we conserving in other places so that we can contribute more in that global way, in that way that's really going to fill us up and not take from our energy? So that is fantastic.
And I also wanted to share, being a helper, one of the things that I also discovered that I didn't want to discover mm-hmm. and consider and why contribute was important to me, is I realized that I was hiring people to support me that needed help. Mm. So even though I was trying to delegate and get more space for myself, mm-hmm. I needed to begin to hire people that were well. I was trying to help. Everybody was mm-hmm. a project, and I needed to help them. And that was mind blowing for me that I was doing that. And once I found, even though you do it for your job, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's coming from the heart. And so finding another way to contribute was helpful for me to stop doing that.
Yeah. What a fantastic realization in that moment, and a hard one too. I can imagine that that would have been like incredibly hard to take a moment and be like, oh, wait, I'm doing something here that isn't actually helping me.
Self-sabotage.
Stress. Yeah. Yeah.
And I kept looking, it's like, why do I keep losing people? Or why are they not doing the work they say they're going to do? And I had to really realize this. I'm not going to say, because this is going to highlight, but one was in the clinical realm, and I put myself in a position where my business and license was in jeopardy because the person didn't do things ethically or correctly. Yeah. And it was so startling. Like, and I don't want to perseverate on that, but removing that self-sabotage aspect and that was my dysfunction was critical and key for me.
I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on, you know, some folks are probably here listening to this because they experienced burnout in some way or capacity, and that has brought them to this show, or perhaps maybe someone has shared it with them and said, you really need to listen to this. But for our listeners who are maybe like, I don't know that I'm really in this burnout space, what are some things that they might experience that might help them recognize that that's the path they're on?
Right. Well, one of the things that I think is really important, critical distinction, is that there's a difference between stress and burnout, right? And we often just throw around burnout for everything. I'm so burnt out on cookies. I'm so burnt out on this. I'm burnt out on TikTok. But burnout is very serious and it's debilitating, whereas stress, it's temporary and you still have hope. But when you're experiencing burnout, you begin to experience a sense of hopelessness. You know, you have a loss in personal efficacy, like there's a decrease, a major decrease in your energy, a major decrease in your confidence. And when people have come to me, often it's been others who have identified it within them, because there's been a disruption in a relationship because people don't recognize them. Now they are behaving in ways outside of their character. So somebody who's very happy, like if I were to run into you and you were to bite my head off, I said, whoa, what's going on with Kate? That is not like her.
Yeah.
So usually coworkers might experience it because we tend to be the last ones, because we think, I just need to get past this project. It's my boss, or as soon as my kid is no longer a toddler. So there's always this event that's going to make it better. And you don't realize that you are stepping on the gas and the brake at the same time and running your body down. Sometimes lack of sleep is a good indicator. One for me is that I'm beginning to step into those early stages, is my keys, believe it or not. I lose my personal things. I'm no longer focused. I feel like I really need to, I'm more focused on proving myself than I am doing the thing that needs to be done.
Yeah.
So those are some of the, what are some of the things that you have found that are really early indicators?
Yeah. The piece when you were bringing up that other people tend to bring, like brought their attention to it or something to that effect. And I think that that is so, so true. Especially when it comes to our behavior. I know for my own burnout experience, I look back on that and I refer to it as becoming the worst version of myself, because I had I'm a pretty playful person. I like to smile. I love to laugh. I love a dance party. And that was all gone.
Wow.
And, you know, it was my mom who was like, you're not you. Like, where's my daughter? And said that to me directly. And that was like, oof, you know, and it definitely felt that and realized that I needed to do something to change. And it wasn't the piece of, when this happens, things will get better. When I finish the coursework for my PhD, this will get better. And now, because you still have a dissertation to write, but those who are doc students, you hear me on this, but it does get better, I promise. So, and you will get through it. So I think that's some of those things. Some of the early indicators for me personally is I get like hangry. So I notice that I'm very short tempered with people when I don't need to be, and there really isn't a reason to be. Right. And you know, of course, the people who are closest to us, my husband gets the brunt of that. And sometimes it's just seeing his face in reaction. I'm like, oh. But I also leaned in when you talked about losing personal items and your keys and those kinds of things, because I connected with that because I didn't necessarily recognize that that was a sign for me, but thinking back on it, that absolutely is a sign for me, and that I'm getting overwhelmed by things that I don't remember where I put things. I think at one point when I was really experiencing some burnout, I would find things in the most random places. Like a bag of flour.
You mean like your phone in the refrigerator?
Yes. Or in the freezer. Like, what? Why?
Absolutely.
What were you doing? Absolutely. So I think that is maybe, I think, a good indicator for folks that like, maybe you've gone a little too far down the path into your burnout space, that if you're so distracted that you're like, why did I put this in here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that your mom shared that with you, because mm-hmm. I think when you get in that burnout space, people are little prickly pears. Yeah. And so someone who loves you has to be willing to get the pokes, because yeah. We usually aren't there's usually denial that comes with that. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm not. Absolutely. What are you talking about? And so that's love to mm-hmm. really be willing to share that. And even if you have a coworker that's willing to do that, because many yeah. people will just, if you look in the space of the competitive workspace and people trying to climb the ladder, some will watch your decline mm-hmm. and enjoy the ride mm-hmm. rather than say, hey,
yeah. Are you okay?
As Archie says, yeah.
How are you okay? feeling?
How are you feeling? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Our good friend, Archie Messersmith Bunting, who has an amazing podcast called What a Feeling. And if you haven't listened to that, give that one a listen after you listen to from Burnout to Recovery show. So Kimberly, I am so thankful to have had you on the show tonight. Just kindred spirit, and absolutely appreciate the work that you are doing in the burnout recovery space. And listeners, of course, you know that if you are enjoying this conversation and you still haven't hit that subscribe button, I need you to hit the subscribe button. And then I need you to share this with someone else who needs to hear it. Maybe you have Absolutely. That prickly pear person out there who is experiencing this and you're worried about them and you just want them to hear the conversation. So to help them find some recognition and help in their burnout. Kimberly, before we wrap up with our recovery moment, what is one piece of advice that you would offer our audience members?
So one piece of advice that I would offer the audience members is to connect with nature in some ways. It doesn't have to, you don't have to drive to the beach. I'm a water person, and I get so much energy from the water. So if you don't have a beach or lake around you, just go outside, take your shoes off, close your eyes, use your senses, smell the air, listen to the birds, to the crickets, listen to the cars wishing by, smell the flowers. You'd be absolutely surprised at how rejuvenated you will feel just by connecting to that which is already placed here for us.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that so much and could not agree with you more. And like, get out, experience nature, take that deep breath of fresh air and feel yourself ground down into the earth. And that is so incredibly important to get yourself into a state of recovery and stop that stress response in your body. Dr. Kimberly, thank you so much for being on this show. I am so appreciative of you and your time and your expertise that you have shared with our listeners today. So thank you again for joining us.
And thank you for having me. And I'm just loving watching you grow and enjoying your Instagram. If you all aren't following her on Instagram, make sure you do so. She's got some moves. And thank you again.
Do. Yes. Join me for a dance party. And Kimberly, before we go, where can our listeners find you?
So you can find me on socials at the Dr. Burnout on Facebook and Instagram, or you can find my website at drkimberlywilson.com. And those are good places to connect with me.
Awesome. And we will make sure that that is included in the show notes for all of you listeners to connect with Dr. Kimberly Wilson. And thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you.
We just had such a great conversation with Dr. Kimberly Wilson, and I am so grateful that she joined us on the show today. In regard to talking about that connection and the importance of connection, sometimes loneliness comes up as well. And so we're going to focus on alleviating wellness in our recovery moment today. So as always, I want to make sure that you are in a safe space for the recovery moment. And if that's not you right now, hit pause, come back to us when you are able to do so, or simply listen and then come back to do the reflection. So go ahead and get yourself comfortable. Let's take a deep breath in through our nose and out through our mouth. If you have ever felt lost in loneliness, then you know how difficult it is to shake this feeling. Luckily, when you combine desire with dedication, amazing changes in your life occur. Daily meditation is simple yet powerful. Implementing a task and sticking to it is how we make habits. Loneliness is simply a feeling that has become habit. It cannot be cured by any external means. Your life could be full of people and you still feel lonely. You could have no friends and feel lonesomeness. You could be completely alone and feel lonely. As you see, it is simply a thought of separation that creates the feeling of loneliness. This can have a never-ending circling effect until you change your focus. So now find a very comfortable position, one that you will not be disturbed from. And let's begin by acknowledging the person who needs you the most. You will find this person when you look in a mirror. Say to yourself now, thank you for this moment as an opportunity. Give yourself now the time to breathe your very best. For most of us, we go entire days without even thinking about our breath, yet it is the very thing keeping us alive. Your breath has been there for you since the beginning, fitting to each moment exactly as it needs. The breath never asks questions and it never judges you. It is simply what is required instantaneously. Let's honor our breath now. And it has been all it has been doing for us with 5 significant and purposeful breaths together. 1, fully inhale, expanding your belly and chest as much as you can, holding it for a moment. And exhale, feeling a wave of relaxation sweep over you. 2, inhale, filling your entire breathing system with fresh oxygen. Hold it. And exhale, noticing again the wave of relaxation gently sweeping over you. 3, inhale very deeply so that you are brimming with air. Take a moment at the top to soak in the life force that we call oxygen. And exhale, noticing your body relaxing in different ways without any effort from you. 4, fully inhale the life force, beginning to feel these breaths purifying your entire body. Exhaling now, not having to do anything at all, just notice how you are feeling. And 5, last one, a full, beautiful breath coming in. Hold it, feeling the goodness of this simple task. And exhale, allowing that wave of relaxation to sweep again over you. Take note of how you are feeling in this very moment. You now have an abundance of oxygen. This is how we were truly created to feel. Breathing deeply and fully is an expression of self-compassion. Let your breath be natural now and notice how abundance feels. Good. This is your new tool that you use when faced with feelings of negativity and loneliness. Take 5 deep, purposeful and helpful breaths that allow you to relax. These conscious and dedicated breaths make it difficult for you to think negatively. Next time you catch yourself feeling hopeless, you must take these 5 healing breaths. There are many meditative techniques that give you back the reins, allowing you to take control of your emotions instead of letting your emotions control you. Mindfulness through meditation helps you become better acquainted with yourself and your emotions. So presently, you are just relaxing and feeling very safe and comfortable. No one needs you right now. This is time you have dedicated to yourself, and nothing is disturbing you. You have nowhere to go and nothing you have to do right now. You are completely safe and relaxed and are able to make great changes without much effort. You are now being guided by your relaxation. Good. It's amazing how our feelings come and go like waves on the ocean shore. We all know that there's absolutely nothing wrong with feeling relaxed. So it is just the same as there is nothing wrong with feeling uncomfortable. These are only sensations that you are experiencing. Sensations that come and go. Now gently bring your awareness, the feeling of loneliness, and notice how and where any sensations of discomfort arise. Be with this feeling as if you are with a friend who is very upset about something that has happened to them. Be there for your discomfort as if you are consoling a dear friend who has tears in their eyes. Join with your loneliness as if you are meeting up with someone you love because they called you and needed you. Is the feeling of loneliness actually scary? Or is it a friend who is experiencing a bad day and is calling out for someone to console them? You soothe your friend's tears with your compassion, the same as you soothe loathsome feelings. Be present and listen, because you are the only one who can give solace to this feeling. Just as how your friend reached out to only you when they needed comfort, you alleviate feelings of desolation by being there with them and never pushing them away. Would you tell your troubled friend to go away when they call you, upset and asking for your presence? No. Then you do not tell your loneliness to go away either. Good. Now allow any feelings of seclusion, discomfort, or pain to just pass by like a rain cloud that has brought a very heavy rain. The cloud passes by and the sun peeks out, beaming with light and warmth. When you console uncomfortable feelings and sit with them as a friend, you are allowing a storm of upset to rain down, letting go, and then continue in the wind. Seeing the sun break, drying up the waters with its warmth. You can clearly see a smile on your friend's face because you are always there for them. Good. The cure for loneliness is to change our focus as soon as you feel it arise. Practice these necessary techniques. Make for meaningful encounters with your inner self, allowing your loneliness to become your ally. Thank you and good job today. Dear listeners, if you allowed your eyes to close during that meditation, I invite you to come back to your present space. Open your eyes. Take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And remember that you can meet your loneliness and console it and allow it to pass as you view the sun breaking through and see your friend that you've just helped through a tough time. For more recovery moments, you can follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram, and be sure to subscribe to the From Burnout to Recovery Show YouTube channel. I am so grateful once again to our guest, Dr. Kimberly Wilson, for joining us and sharing her expertise in the burnout recovery space. Be sure to reach out to her at the Dr. Burnout on Instagram and Facebook. And I am grateful to each of you for listening. Thank you for joining us today on the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Kate, and I wish you peace on your journey. Thank you for joining me on the front porch today. Remember that if you're ready to learn your current level of burnout, be sure to take the Feeling Crispy quiz on my website, drkatesteiner.com. Be well, my friends. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Kate, on the From Burnout to Recovery Show, where you are starting your journey to burnout recovery. You are invited to join me on the front porch every second and fourth Friday of the month on transformationtalkradio.com to continue growing in resilience and integrating recovery into your daily life. If you would like to learn more or find out how to work with me, visit liftwellnessconsulting.com.